On to another subject now. You might have heard at the end of last year, and perhaps not everyone might have been familiar with this chap prior to his, well, quite frankly, astonishing arrest. Andrew Tate is what you might call a quote-unquote influencer, but that doesn't really go far enough to explain who he is. He's a former kickboxer, okay, no problems there. But he's also a self-described misogynist and is a multimillionaire who brags about all his fast cars and his mansions. He makes money streaming to his fans from a webcam in his flash apartment. A lot of what he says is just, well, I'm not easily shocked, but it's pretty disgusting. He's described women as, quote, intrinsically lazy. And he says there's, quote, these are his words, there's no such thing as an independent female. And in his defense, when he's invariably picked up on these things, he says, hey, quote, I'm a realist. And when you're a realist, you're sexist. There's no way you can be rooted in reality and not be sexist. So why is this guy so popular? And exactly how influential is he on young people? He's got 3.5 million Twitter followers. He's got a worldwide profile. Mostly young men and boys are the ones, I suppose, predictably enough, who tend to listen to what he has to say. So exactly how, I suppose, dangerous is this? How worried should we be? And how do we talk to our kids, both the boys who are emulating this guy and the girls who might end up with people like him? Well, Danielle Miller is a teen educator. She's a parenting author and she's director of the Education for Women's Community Shelters. And she joins me on the line right now. G'day, Danielle. Welcome to Afternoons. How are you?
I'm well, thank you, Joe. And can I just start by saying I was so pleased to hear you speak out so passionately and firmly against Andrew Tate, because that's what we need to be doing. We do need to be calling this behaviour out. It would be easy for us to dismiss him as just yet another influencer with his innate rantings. But the truth of it is he does have a huge following. His TikToks have had over 11 billion views. And you're spot on in saying that he has financially made a business out of outrage, and it is working particularly on our young boys.
It is worrying, isn't it? Because I'm obviously the father of a young boy myself. He's 9 years old, and you sort of think about what's out there. I've spoken to a lot of people like you, experts who tell you stories about what happens in the teenage years. Obviously, we know that kids grow up, they want to become more independent, and they leave their parents behind. They no longer look to their parents as role models, and they look to someone else. And for example, I work with the Top Blokes Foundation. It does some great work in this area. And they say the person that your teenage boy looks to is going to determine which path they take, which way they go when they get to that fork in the road. If they turn to Andrew Tate, we're in a lot of trouble, aren't we?
Look, I guess I can provide listeners with some hope, and that is this. Even Tate himself says the key to success is to have 60 to 70% fans and 40% haters. And he says that if you really want to become successful, if you really want to be known, you want arguments, you want war. So the fact that he has lots of followers and that he has lots of hits on his site does not necessarily mean that all of those young men watching those clips agree with what he says. Many of them might be watching suitably outraged. I mean, I would argue, don't give him the hits to start with, right? But we shouldn't assume that everyone watching or engaging with him takes him seriously. In fact, many young men think he's a bit of a joke. The other thing that's interesting was a conversation I had with my son, who's now 21, who said, you know, Mum, there's this weird phenomena that happens to you when you're a 13, 14-year-old where you want to see yourself as some kind of contrarian and you want to push back against family values. And he said, but I bet a lot of the boys who say they think he's funny and cool actually do have a bit of a sick feeling in their tummies when they hear him speaking this way and referring to girls and women as hoes and bitches. So the key, I guess, is not to shout down dialogue with this with our young people, particularly if they bring it up with us. We know that shaming doesn't work, finger pointing doesn't work, lecturing doesn't work. I think we need to call our teens in rather than call them out.
Yep.
And unpack some of these messages so that we can be that big influencer in our own home, and rather than risk radicalising young men, actually bring them back into the fold with some common sense and some respect.
And I imagine a lot of the attraction to him for a lot of kids is, as you say, they're going through a huge time in their lives. They're going through a naturally rebellious time in their lives, but they're also going through a time when they often feel, I imagine, well, I know because I was one, you know, very insecure. They might be anxious about the fact that they're not popular with girls or women, and therefore they want to blame them for that. Well, it's all the girls' fault because they're all, you know, XXX. And that they're trying to, I suppose, find a worldview that stops them from being the ones who are at fault, or them who are the ones that have the problem, and projecting that onto to women. Is that some of what's going on here?
100%, you hit the nail on the head. And I guess the question is then, you know, it's fairly obvious, isn't it, how Andrew Tate harms women. But what is also important to unpack is, how is he harming boys and men? He's setting them up for failed relationships. He's limiting the expression of their full humanity. You know, they're not allowed to express things without vulnerability. It's all this kickboxing bravado. He pushes a message of consumerism as a path to success. But what will make you a successful guy is how many cars you've got, how many online followers you've got. And I do think it's fair to say that this is a vulnerable time, and we need to speak thoughtfully and compassionately to our boys, because if we don't, the Andrew Tates of the world will win their hearts and minds instead.
And I imagine dads have a pretty important role. I mean, we obviously want our kids, boys especially, to have strong male role models, so that they learn that what it is to be a man, and indeed to be a strong man and a tough man, isn't denigrating women.
100%. We need our men to speak up on this, and not just talk the talk, Joe, but walk the walk. All the lectures in the world on the need for respect won't seem authentic if our kids see us making sexist jokes, or if they notice that dad doesn't do any of the housework. And we need to also expose our boys to positive role models, as you said. But the other thing to consider is to also ask your son not only what kind of man he'd like to be, but what kind of man does he feel uneasy around as well.
Yeah, very good point. Look, Danielle Miller, thank you so much. The last question I had for you, I suppose, was, it's all well and good if kids have a father or a stepfather or whatever, a male role model in the home. What about those kids who don't have a male role model on hand to look up to? How do we make sure that they get, and again, I reference my work with Top Blokes, where they actually do provide those mentors and role models, but for kids who are sort of struggling to find someone to look up to and show them the way, what do we do for them?
Yeah, again, an excellent question, and I do a lot of work with Top Blokes as well. They do fabulous work. The research actually says that it's not so important the gender of the mentor as it is the value and relationship with that gender. So we shouldn't dismiss the role that really amazing women can have on influencing young men as well. I think sometimes we assume that, oh, gee, if there's no dad or no sort of father figure around, that all is lost. Not at all. It takes a village, and it takes a village of all genders to raise healthy boys and girls. And so there's definitely a space for reaching out to positive men, you know, whether it be through sport, whether it be through schooling. Sadly, there's a lack of male teachers, particularly in most primary schools.
Yes.
But above and beyond that, you know, don't feel too despairing if your son doesn't yet have that positive male role model. He may well have some amazing women in his life who teach him what it means to be a respectful boy in their own way as well. And that matters.
That's right. Well, I was raised by a single mum, and I'm pretty bloody tough, Danielle. I'm all man.
I think you're pretty nuanced, and I think you're pretty balanced, Joe, and we need more of that as well. Let's celebrate the good guys, not give more hits to the Andrew Tates of the world, who are really just banking on our outrage and marketing misogyny.
Yeah, I think so. And I think he comes from a place of pretty transparent insecurity as well. It's quite sad in some ways. But Danielle Miller, thanks so much for chatting to us. Fascinating stuff. And if you want to find out more about Danielle's work, you can follow her on Twitter. And that's at Miller Danielle, DanielleLe. Thanks again, Danielle. Lovely to talk to you.
You too, Joe. Bye for now.
Cheers. Take care.